It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
ThinkTech Hawaii. ThinkTech is a community nonprofit digital media company that broadcasts 35 original talk shows a week, covering stories, events, and sea changes that matter to tech and to Hawaii. We care about and regularly cover tech, energy diversification, and globalism for Hawaii. Check us out and see our great content 24/7 on thinktechhawaii.com.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. A lovely day here, and always, as some say, if you're alive, that's lovely. But not only being alive, but being here in Hawaii and with all the good folks and what have you. So welcome to another Sunday morning at the races. But quite a few things I want to talk about, and also I did get an email from someone that wanted to talk about rail, and I was going to leave some time to that effort. And you know, there is a special session being convened, and I'd like to offer some of you, or all of you, whoever calls first or last, and express your concerns, and maybe sending a message to the legislators. And, yeah, they do listen to the Carol Cox Show. I know that because they tend to be a little worried about what's going to go out about them. So I can assure you they do listen. And if you do have comments, and I'm not looking for a partisan flavor I'm not interested in that aspect of it. I don't care if we build spaceships or what have you. But as long as not it, the intent is to put one party ahead of the other party, we're looking about people concerns and what it's going to do, the hardship that it will present for seniors and others that have a limited amount of money, and depending just on that and the hardship that they're already facing, and with this other cost, however Mr. Kochi and Mr. Psyche think that they want to engage with this. But I think we can send Kochi and Psyche a message, and anyone else that dare to come up and think that they can raise our taxes and or tax us for a matter that have just woefully illegal and unethical. This whole presentation of heart is just, you know, I've heard many people talk about it is this and we could use this system and that system. No. The problem why we are failing to fight it successfully is that we don't call it what it is. It's one big fraud. And you can't bring yourselves to the table to say that there's a person called Colleen Hanabusa, congresswoman, that you one day, as I've said many times, wear many a hats, depending on the flavor of the week or whatever she's interested in or whatever it appears that needs to be covered up or needs to be put swept under the rug, she's there. And I don't need to go back and tell you the history of her involvement with Hart and her involvement with the representation of the council members that were issues were raised about their behavior as it relates to voting and rail and donations. And now, you know, we're back. She might run for governor. Who knows? But I've learned something. You can't live on rumors. But when it comes to Colleen Hanabusa and the political structure here, you can live on rumors, because what may be the appearance, a rumor, could be the informal network of talking, the informal communication that is professionally designed to leak things out or set things in motion so that you and I would accept that, as when it does hit the table, we are not going to object to it because we've already been conditioned. And that's just basic effort to defeat you and control you. And they've done a damn good job. I don't know of any other theft in progress that I've witnessed where no one is screaming, give me back my purse, or, you know, give me my money back, or go to hell, we're not giving you anything else. You can't take blood from a turnip. We don't hear that here. So 524-1080, if you are interested and have something to say and you think you want to get it out there and share your thoughts with others. Are you afraid that this tax or this GET or whatever you call it, I call it GET, they're going to get everything they can from us until we can't get anymore. But anyway, I'm well versed on the rail, but I just I guess I'm in the doldrums hearing all of the bombardments back and forth, when in reality is that the Senate is going to take up on itself, and the House is going to take up on itself to do the business of the city. But the city didn't involve them overtly or in the earlier stages. If they did, it wasn't clear to me. So why now at this stage of the game are we appealing, allowing the city to appeal to us? And just the gift keeps giving. And so saying all of that, again, the number is 524-1080, but I'm going to share with you. We've talked about a long time ago, I mentioned to you that if we could control the waste, fraud, and abuse in government, and just the daily activities of our daily function in government, I believe, based on what I've witnessed, that we could cut the need for one-third of the taxes could be stopped today, and you would benefit and recognize that if only we were able to just cut out that fat, the waste, the fraud, the abuse, the cost overruns, the change orders, and all of that. If we could do that, I believe one-third of our revenue in taxes the tax bureau could keep in their pocket and in their bank account. But it's so rampant. And you see a few things. Just the other night we did a story on KGMB, Hawaii News Now, about the Kehe transfer station. Now, there's such a danger and a risk that when you see these stories, it's possible to miss the real point. From my perspective, why I try to find out, because first of all, it's environmentally it's not sane and not healthy to see what is occurring. So what happens, though, I'm making a sound adjustment here, what you see is waste in its worst form. And so when you see trash, you go, oh, okay, the city is at it again. And I don't know if you really get what is really being said. Well, environmentally, it's a problem. Health-wise, so human health, it's a problem. And then when we come back and figure out, well, let's try and figure out this thing. We built, for example, Kehe Transfer Station. This story aired, focus on Kehe Transfer Station, the trash dump there in Middle Street area. And so the danger is that, well, we know it smells and what have you, but what is the real backdrop? That's what is really going on. What am I really trying to say when you see me stand there on TV and say, yeah, here's another hole where trash is being dumped? That's not it. I'm saying to you, here's another occasion, another example of wise men not being so wise, but being wise asses and then defrauding you. And I'll show you what I mean by this. At the Kehe Transfer Station, while we're doing that story, if you are able to look back on the story, you'll see a small yellow trash truck sitting there in the wash rack. A house. It's inside of a house, so to speak. And so what happens is that truck is just innocently sitting there. And you wouldn't know it. But that truck has been, has radiation in it. And it's placed inside of that wash rack. And that radiated truck is supposed to be circled with a ribbon and saying do not enter, danger, and what have you. Well, that was missing. The truck is there. They're letting it sit there so any of the workers could walk up and expose themselves or anybody unknowingly. So that's one. So there's law and there's policy, and then there's a truck has been taken out of service for a while, a couple of days, until it clears of the radiation. So now that a little bump in the system. The building which it's housed in was more than $1 million spent on that building to serve as a wash rack for the truck that's sitting there, but it does not work. So there's $1 million there or more. The ground that it sits on has poor drainage. And then, therefore, the drainage is allowing the leachate and the waste from the trailers and the tractors that sit there that hauls the garbage run into the ocean. So they had to refit that, another $200,000, $300,000. And we haven't even left the yard yet. And so we now have a backup of trash buildup exceeding their allowed 500 tons at any given time, but it's only strictly for a temporary usage for storage. Temporary, not permanent. Because it's unhealthy, it's unsafe. You can't collect that much garbage in MSW, and they do catch fire, and they do give off gases and all kinds, and they generate leachate, and so it presents a real big problem. So now you introduce things like, well, the workers are claiming that management has hired their relatives, and their relatives are making $100,000 or six figures, while the other drivers are being held back and not giving special treatment, or not, I won't call it special treatment, but they're given the opportunity to make more money than the other workers. And then there's nepotism. So, and then the claims are the people that are running it now, especially some of the in management up there, have worked in numerous companies that have failed. And so how much efficiency is lost in this approach to this? Some of these guys are older than Salt that works there and have had failure after failure after failure and poor judgment. I guess you would call it poor judgment. I'm reluctant to call fraud poor judgment, because ultimately somebody walks away with the loot. So I don't know if it's fair to say or describe it as poor judgment. When the taxpayer loses and it's fraudulent loss to fraud, that's not poor judgment on the part of the management. So that's a different story, different show. So now what happens is that the city states that, well, the reason the trash is built up is that it is the trucks are not functioning well. Well, back up for a moment. So talk about more money being lost, more money being spent defrauding the public. The budget annually, they assign certain amounts of dollars based to take care of the maintenance and all of that to keep the trucks running and the acquisition of new trucks or new equipment. And so they openly and so bravely state that the trucks do, because the buildup is caused by the trucks not functioning. Now, in a responsible government, a government that felt that it works for the people, that owns the government, by the people, and all of that, would never say that, yeah, we took your money, we budgeted for it for maintenance and upkeep, but you know what? To hell with that. We're going to spend it somewhere else on the rail. Yeah, well, we know it was earmarked. It's not a problem. What's wrong with earmarking something and going and get it special funding for these projects, and then turn around and say, well, now that we've gone through the formal process as a charter requires or allows, or the legislative process, but let's just ignore all that and park the trucks, and they're not broken. It's just that we have a dispute with the union, so the trash is piling up. And then you get the other person or party or entity that's complicit in all of this is the state health department, and we'll talk a bit about that, how this grand conspiracy to defraud the public of clean air, clean water, and their money. So now you go back to this building, and these trucks are just sitting there. The other day we counted about 11 trailers sitting there while the trash is piled up. And one thing catches your eye, and you'd have to know this. You could be, they could rip you off, and you could be standing there and know that you have $5 in each hand when you start the conversation with them. And they will take both of those $5 and will swear to you that it wasn't them. And by the quick hands that they have in government, how they can talk and, you know, change the wording, divert the monies. And here's what happened. So while all of this trash is built up, they're required to not exceed 500 ton. So they exceeded 500 ton. They claim 1,600 ton is really there now. That's over. It's over more than three times the amount. So how is it that the state health department could allow that when the state health department tell you, well, we can't go over and regulate that because we don't have the manpower? But once again, the state health department has money allocated to them and budgeted to them for inspections. But they don't fill the positions. But any time a TV story come or a canoe floats from around the world and come, they're all there telling you this big lie that how they embrace the canoe's effort to love the environment and perpetuate cleanliness in the environment and the health of the human beings and the ocean, which is all hogwash. If you show me anybody in government here that honestly and from their behavior and their voting records and what their track record, that they give a damn about the environment and human health, I'll kiss their hand publicly. I'm not worried about kissing anybody's hand in this town because it just isn't going to happen. You give them $6 million for a project. It starts off. Somehow their friend got the project. When there are qualified bidders and companies that have reputations that are just solid, they get pushed to the side and friends apparently get, or by hook and crook, gets it. The low bid, there's this debate, well, the low bid is not always better. You bet it is. It's not, and I think I'm going to be able to demonstrate that to you. And you're going to say, what? Oh, my God. So, back to this KH transfer station. So, while all of this is going on in the pileup, now I wrote the mayor's public relations guy, who I call the Gestapo, the people sitting around there waiting to guard the gates to make sure that little people like myself and you, the people that own the government, don't get to see the government or have first-hand interaction with the government. We're only given the scraps that they think we may be willing to accept. So I asked them, how does this, do you exceed this level? When did it start? And all that. And mind you, I'd already known that because I obtained it from the state health department. But so that you'll know, the city never responded to my phone calls nor a letter of requesting some answers to questions. And they weren't hard questions like, what year was Aristotle born? Or what did Aristotle get when he was 9 years old for a birthday present? It wasn't that kind of a question. It was simple questions. So, trash not flowing, and this is about money. So if you say to the legislators, we need $6 million for fuel, for trucks, to move this trash, and they give you the money, or the city council, they budget for that, and then you park the trucks and you allow the trash to build up. So you're not spending the money in overtime. You're not spending money on fuel to transport that. You're not spending money on the upkeep of the trucks. So where's that money going? Probably, knowing who is leading this state, the city, Caldwell, Manahan. This is Manahan's district, by the way. Councilman Manahan, or Kurt Caldwell's little boy, amongst the other little boys, you know, that he, Caldwell, has dangling on a string, that to hell with what the taxpayers need and what's proper for them. But his little boys and his little girl there, Kimberly Pine, do their thing. Whatever he wants, they give it to him. And no matter what the cost is to the public or the taxpayer, to the environment. Now, I know that many of you probably have just left the room already, but good for you, because if that's the kind of community you want to live in, and these are the kind of leaders, then well deserved. I have no issue with you. But those that are staying around, I'm only telling you factually. I could be a little more descript. But Manahan was asked a question to comment about the trash and the slowdown and the buildup and the stench and the environmental concerns and the cost of money, that is, where's the money? Instead of appearing on the show and contributing to the news in person, he declines. He calls the city management and ask, how's everything going over there? And is it all right? And, you know, and then calls back and says, they said it's going okay. I don't have any comment. there's a thing called elections. You can get rid of Caldwell's little boys and his little girl, the minions, or whatever they call them. I don't know what would be the appropriate term. But I can tell you this, it has nothing good for you in the pipe. So there's all of this going on, and you don't know it, and you got radiated trucks sitting down exposing the workers. Workers could inadvertently walk in there, and the public could walk in there, and there's radiation. There was a homeless there right adjacent to that. And no problem. So that does not sound like a lot of money wasted. But I haven't finished, and nor will I ever finish, because a lot of these things don't present themselves so obvious as some of the things we do see. So if you want to understand a greater details of this and understand more about it and see some, go to carolcox.com, and we're going to post pictures up there that will help you understand that what illustrate what it is, what a person or what's the product of people that promise to do things for people, the good, and they fail, and they knew from the beginning they never intended to do good for the masses. They only do good for the classes, the upper one, first class, you see. They're friends in high places. They can get what they want. You've got trash on the side, then they immediately, hey, Kirk, got some problems over here with the trash. Okay, be right over. But in Kalihi and other areas, forget it. When the trash backs up at the Kehi transfer station, some of you are probably saying, well, that doesn't bother us. Yes, it does, because you see, what the transfer station was built for, when they first had it at the facility at Kaka'ako area, the transfer station was built for, as a trade-off, to try and manage so that the trash could be moving better, flowing better, and then it would be going to H-Power. And so the theory was, we'll collect it there. The trucks that drive around the neighborhoods and the automated or the handheld hand pickups would come at each house, each route, pick it up, and go and dump it at Kehi transfer station, saving time and money and being more efficient, so the truck could return and pick up, the automated truck could return and go back to the community in those districts and pick up the trash and bring it back and deposit it at Kehi. In the meantime, at Kehi, there is a Kehi area, there is trucks and a chute and a pit where the trash is dumped in and it's collected there and then put into tractor-trailer trucks, which carries a larger load and then goes to H-Power. That magical word, H-Power. Can we all say H-Power? So that's the theory. Now, where's the money at? Well, now you don't have the efficiency and the fluidity that you should see based on this theory that they put in place. Well, by not hauling the trailers and being efficient and using more trailers to get it out to H-Power, they cause the truck that picks in the community, when it gets full, it can't go back to the Kehi transfer station as it normally would do because they got too much trash. They've exceeded their levels. So that truck has to drive all the way to H-Power. So now what would normally be maybe two or three routes or a full route picked up, now the truck is en route to H-Power in traffic, so that takes more time. So being addressing picking up trash, so you see a slowdown. That's why possibly you see some of your trash being picked up late or another day late or what have you. Just sharing that with you. In case you didn't, if you want to talk trash, sit around, gather around, we'll talk trash. So all of that going on. Now, you remember I told you about the solar voltaic building that the EPA forced down the throat of the city and county of Honolulu because it was a special environmental project that, as a trade-off of violating the law at Kapaa Quarry for failing to put a gas catchment system in at Kapaa as required under the Clean Air Act and what on and on. So they didn't do that. So the EPA fined them, and somebody pocketed $875,000, EPA or I don't know who, but it's, you know, you need some play money when you come to Paradise and, you know, do a little inspection. So this building is put up. Now, I told you that the construction company or the engineering company defaulted on its contract at the solar building. And that company was Performance Systems, Inc. So Performance Systems, Inc., and if you look at the, I got some loose papers here, so I'm going to just give you an idea when we talk about money. And so I'm not trying to advance my argument. I'm just sitting here having a conversation with myself, and if you gain something from it, good for you. But Performance Systems, Inc., won the contract, as it say here, Division of Purchasing under the City and County of Honolulu. You can go look for yourself, but we recovered the documents, construction bid results. The construction contract 902908 for a solar building project at H Power. Estimated cost $5 million. Contact budget and finances at purchasing at Honolulu. So there were a total of six bidders, and those bidders were Performance Systems, Inc. was number one bidder because it bidded for the basic bid was $9,334,186.85. Ralph Inouye Company Limited bidded $11,348,550. BCP Construction of Hawaii bid it $11,858,000. Bodell Construction, $12,159,000. T-Leader Contracting, $13 million. And MEI Corporation bid it $13,395,600. So that was for the solar building. So Performance Systems, Inc. served the contract, won the contract apparently, as I see it here now. If it's run, and then there were subcontractors listed in this thing. Okay, so it was original estimated cost was $5 million for that. And Performance Systems, Inc. bidded $9 million. Performance Systems, Inc. was there at the facility working, and I read to you the last time we talked about this, that they defaulted on the contract. So I'm not very astute on the and knowledgeable of the contracts and how it works as to how much money is paid up front, how much money is paid in increments or however, but based on their reporting at the Budget and Fiscal Services, it says that $9,334,000. Now, I'm rather schizophrenic, I think, or sketchy today because I'm jumping all over the place, right? And I was talking about K Transfer Station, but hang on with me now. I'm trying to put this thing together as I talk to you. So let's go back to Kehi Transfer Station. But before we do that, when you go to carolcox.com, look at the pictures and you'll see equipment. There's a front-end loader there at the Solar Voltaic Building, which is, by the way, a large portion of it has been erected. There's still some portions of it hadn't been, and the roof is still open, and some portions is covered. And the reports are no one has seen anybody around there working on it for a month or 2 months, so it's just sitting idle. But there's a front-end loader that says has a big sticker on it that say Performance Systems, Inc., meaning that this thing was owned by or is owned by or was owned by. I don't know the status because the city don't see me as a viable entity to talk to me or respond to questions. So I draw my own conclusion. That's pretty good. So they will either have to take possession of that, they being the city, to try and recover the taxpayers' money, because somewhere, if you hadn't fulfilled the contractual agreement and you leave the scene and you then, as I read to you, the and I still haven't probably read some more to you, but this machine is just sitting there, so not being used. But let's go back to Kehi Transfer Station, because you see at Kehi Transfer Station, sitting in that yard is a piece of equipment, an excavator. We'll call it a bulldozer or a hole digger, whatever you want to call it. But it you know, it's a track vehicle. And on that vehicle, there's a sticker that say Performance Systems, Inc. Why is that relevant to the solar power building or the solar, whatever, you voltaic building? It's relevant because, you see, part of the backup at Kehi Transfer Station is that because they wanted to change the setup at Kehi Transfer Station. Right now, they back a trailer down into the hole, as they call it, a chute, and then they load the trash from the back. But these trailers are also designed where they open like a butterfly wing up on the top. So they wanted to modify the existing chute so that they could load from the top. So there was a contract for this. Who got the contract? Well, here's the results of that contract. Construction contract number 922815. Project, Kehi Transfer Station Loadout Modification, South End. Solicitation number, and on and on. Estimated cost, $1,500,000. Who do they show got the bid? Performance Systems, Inc. The basic bid was $2,036,856. LTM Corporation, DBA Civil Mechanical Contractor, also submitted. Now, if PSI, or Performance Systems, Inc., filed bankruptcy and did not fulfill its contractual agreements at the solar building, and it didn't, and now this, apparently they're going to have to, and here's what I'm told by city personnel that do talk to me off the record, that at the solar power building, though it was portions were built, they not trusting the integrity of the project. There's that debate. And that they're going to now need to go back and recover money or somehow or get more money allocated. Is that a change order or is that just a screw up? But that's $9 million, as far as I read from this at the solar bill, and $9 million of your tax dollars. So, but go back to Kehi Transfer Station. There's a $2 million contract. And that job, too, has been abandoned. And so now they're saying they will have to, they can't trust the integrity of that project in what was done, so they'll have to start from scratch again, they say. Some say things such as the rebar was third grade or not the greatest quality and that it was rusted. And some of the people that I've talked to say you just don't work with rusted rebar. You just, it's not good. It causes spalling and when the integrity of the structure. So we got two major projects. So basically, if we look at the total dollar amount for this one company and these two projects, nearly $12 million of the city money that the taxpayer gave to the city. And this is what we get from it. A solar building that sits up catching solar rays, serving no purpose. And then you go to Kehi Transfer Station and you have an abandonment of that project serving no purpose. And there's $2 million there. Now, I know someone said, well, you're hard on Lori Carquina. No harder on her than I am when I see that I open my tax bill and then I have conversations with folks like you. And then I know there's right and wrong. And so my question is, how do these people get inside the government and get contracts and without anyone looking to see if they are viable? But that reminds me, as I told you before, the company called Jayco, who was going to be part of this project at the solar building, there was that conversation, that exchange of emails where they say, hey, what was the name of that company that came over here and worked with us and gave us some information on that and gave an assessment and evaluation? They were a good company. They looked like they were pretty good. What was the name? I don't know. Ask Mike or Mark or whatever. Mark, what do you think? Well, they're going out of business. Wait, I thought you just said they were viable. Folks, under the Caldwell administration, if you think Jeremy Harris had his problems and had his tricks, and if you still scratching your head to try to get closer to understanding anything that Mufi Hanneman did, what's unique about Kurt Caldwell is that he's overt about everything. He gives away the city streets to bicyclists, companies that didn't give you a chance to compete, bid for it, or anything. So when you have a string, a gaggle of yes men such as Manahan, Kimberly Pine, Ron Minor, and Elefante, and they're willing, 5 and 4 is 9, right? And they're willing to do anything that this mayor wants. He don't like it? I'll call my boys and my girls and I'll get them there. That's what you got for government, folks. You might think you got a mayor and city councilman, but you got the boys and the little girl who are yes men and yes women who are just bleeding you to death, and in a couple of weeks from now, they're going to do it in a grander scale. And maybe one day when I really get old, I will bring myself to apologize for the comments that I make, but it ain't happening. I don't plan on getting old soon, so sorry. I wish because I see even more than this, but I don't believe it's necessary to go through these motions or through this length to sit here and labor and tell you about it, because if so much is not enough, then I don't know what it will take. The straw that broke the camel's back, I don't subscribe to that theory. I think that if you're wrong, don't wait until you overload the camel. Now all you have is a broken back camel and a bunch of straws. So what are you going to do? So wake up, folks. Tell your legislators. Know if you believe that you think there's efficiency. You give them any tax monies now. I try to lay this out to show you the inefficiency in their management skills and their style and the product that we get. Money just flowing through their hands, and you are obligated to pay it. You are obligated to pay it. And if you don't pay it, then there comes the police or the sheriff to evict you because your tax is going to go up. And they're going to levy charges against you. That's what this means about this reel. What you own today is in hoc. You don't own anything. You let this tax thing go. If you let Kikuchi and Psyche and anybody else go forward with this situation or this development, you are going to pay dearly. And if you don't, you haven't found anything in life that you're motivated to where you should go and be the nail that sticks up out of the plank, then I'm going to say to you, maybe this is the one that it's time for you to stand up, not for me or your neighbor, but for yourself. And we're going to talk about this whole process of sewage leaking and flowing that's related to this as well. 524-1080 is the number if you are interested in calling. But again, we need to do something, and I think that something is to just say no to your legislators. It doesn't cost you anything. But if you say yes, or if you just do nothing, it's going to cost you. Silence is just as costly as making a loud noise. Pays the same. And I know many of you are probably, well, I don't want to get involved. I don't want to piss them off. I don't want to get cross with them. I don't want to, you know, they're nice guys. They're not nice guys. Because nobody on this planet would have sold you a bogus deal as they have, forced it down your throat through hook and crookery, and then in turn standing tall today at the street corner as gospels, who's telling you the honest truth and all of that. You trust him with another nickel of yours from the rail, then you deserve every bad deal that you get. I'm not trying to recruit anybody to be radical. I'm just telling you that we should be completely in the mode of removing anything that looks like a city council person that nods their head to yes on the rail, period. We should even file and get indictments just because they say, well, the Ethics Commission says, well, you know, the city council was okay in their job, and I think there's, I can't think, it was out there in Ever Beach, the gentleman that on the neighborhood board filed a lawsuit or complaint about that. Nothing happened. So we all can sit around and debate, and we can talk, and we can make excuses, and we can put our heads in the sand like ostrich. You notice I said like ostrich because we're not ostrich. That behavior is a learned behavior on the part of humans. And just always remember, when you put your head in the sand when it comes to these issues now, I got to remind you that your hind end is sticking out, and so therefore your wallet is quite accessible. So stick your head in the sand, and then you expose your wallet, your bank account, your bank checkbook to these guys. And they don't have any limits. $12 million just to deal with trash, and then it's building up and stinking and smelling, and then it's calling and they're lying that it's about the people not wanting to pick up trash and all. $12 million gone in a flash. And you still don't have the product. If you're interested, I have some vacuum cleaners with no plug and no suction, but I'm willing to sell them to you for a good price for about $5,000. And I know you're going to probably say this deal sucks, but it does. The whole thing sucks, to be honest with you. To sit and open your mail in the morning or in the afternoons, whenever you get it, and then you see another tax bill. While all of this pilikia or trash is occurring, taking place on the part of the mayor and all of that. And many of you that I see and you say, hey, you know, the mayor's doing a good job on the trash. And the homeless man, he's really hell bent on those guys. He's going to really do it. Well, if you applaud that mayor for that behavior, then I have only one thing to say to you. I wish you luck. Because there's no insurance against the same things happening to you when people like this get in and lie to you overtly and with very little care. So I don't want to be a spoiler, and I know that it's probably really a bad thing to carry on this way, but that's what some of us do. And you might want to take a page from this book. Your tax is going up, and your grandkids are going to be paying for it. You, your grandkids, and everything that you worked hard for to ensure that your family, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or whatever, sisters, brothers, have a home and a place to lay their head and have a place called home and sanctuary, kiss it goodbye. It ain't going to happen.
Aloha, I'm Jay Fidel, CEO of ThinkTech Hawaii. ThinkTech is a community nonprofit digital media company that broadcasts 35 original talk shows a week, covering stories, events, and sea changes that matter to tech and to Hawaii. We care about and regularly cover tech, energy diversification, and globalism for Hawaii. Check us out and see our great content 24/7 on ThinkTechHawaii.com.
So we'll be back here shortly, and this is the Carol Cox Show. You can pick me up on ThinkTech Hawaii online or live on Tuesdays and Olelo. So we'll be back shortly.
Right after the news on KWAI Honolulu 1080. And now, here's Carol.
Aloha, I'm Jay Fidel, CEO of ThinkTech Hawaii. ThinkTech is a community nonprofit digital media company that broadcasts 35 original talk shows a week, covering stories, events, and sea changes that matter to tech and to Hawaii. We care about and regularly cover tech, energy diversification, and globalism for Hawaii. Check us out and see our great content 24/7 on thinktechhawaii.com.
And welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. I want you to see the Think Tech and push it and advertise it because, I have a show on at 12 o'clock on every second Tuesday. And also, you know that you can pick me up on Olelo, my show's on Olelo, talking about various issues in greater detail. And then you got the Carol Cox Show, and then you got the website, carolcox.com, podcast there, and it's not for the faint of heart or the weak stomach. It is what it is, and I just think that there are so many people out there that appreciate it, and I'm every day I'm pleased. And I played that Otis Redding song earlier. I know I played it a couple times here in the recent past, but I had a person to ask me if I would play it again for him because he was just going through some mental problems as to dealing with some issues, and he wanted to hear it. So there you have it, my friend. And what we were talking about is a city and your tax dollars, well, your dollars, and no sense, S-E-N-C-S-E, city, you know, no sense. But it's a scary place. I don't know how else to come across and present it. I honestly don't, because it's a dangerous situation with your people being able to just grab your money, and that's what it is. Just grab it. You know, you don't even have to open the purse. Scott Psyche and Kochi will open it for them. And they're basically saying, hey, how much do you want? Kochi is standing there going, you want how much? Oh, okay, well, tomorrow morning we're going to just collect all the taxpayers' purses and wallets and checkbooks, and you come over here and we'll give it to you. And that's basically, I mean, I'm being facetious and specious about it, but the point is, you're still going to get robbed, no matter how it's done, how someone else could probably sit here and tell you in the NPR fashion. But when you're screwed, you're screwed. It's just the way it is. You're losing your tax dollars, and you're up against a wall, and a robbery is occurring, and no weapon is needed. You just need some cooperating legislators. Kirk Caldwell should be told, it's your problem, you're the city manager, it's your problem, that's powers of separation here. You deal with your own problems. We're not here to browbeat the public or steal from them or facilitate theft. But apparently, somewhere in their class of history and in college, they missed that. They must have been out surfing or something. But hey, I don't know if you will share the same humor that I will, but that I do. But did you know we were talking about bids, and you've heard me talk about wastewater and trash and all that, and the wastewater, you know, there's, when you can tell wastewater because there's scum, you know, and so we borrow that term and use it liberally on other places, you know, when we're in conversations. But did you know, speaking of tax dollars now, and being that we spent this money, I don't understand why we still have all the problems. I really don't. And if you can understand a little humor, but also there's a story behind this, but did you know that we spent $468,888 for a scum concentrator system? Now, you would think we'd have the cleanest government there is if we have gone out and bought ourselves a scum concentrator. We would have it contained, wouldn't it? But really, the bid number on that was 925203, and that went out. And, 318-2016. So we have an official scum concentrator. And I guess we'll see it in working on the day of special session. I don't know. Hopefully not. But anyway, if you share that humor, fine. If you take it further than what it's worth, you know, call somebody that you can complain to. But again, it's all about the money, folks. So up at Kalihi, up in the upper valley there, going on up Likiliki, there was a spill of sewage into the Kalihi stream. Now, I got, and you got to understand this. While we talk about the government being corrupt and abusive in its practices and picking and choosing who they will talk to and what have you, and basically pushing people like myself aside because we don't have a right to ask government questions. We're the lower left-hand lane people, you know. We don't count. For some reason, historically, we don't rise to that level, you know. But we persevere. We get through it. And again, thank you, all of you city workers who are willing to tell the truth, take the chance, trust in me that I will try and get these things out to the public through this iron curtain of information and with Caldwell goons that hang around there calling themselves public information officers. But it's okay. They got their role, and, I mean, that's what you do at Dog and Pony Show. But up there in Kalihi Valley, so I get a call in that it's occurring in the Numana area. And I go up, and I get some pictures, and you can see the sewage, milky substance just flowing into the stream. And I hear, oh, if Carol Cox call, don't ask any questions or talk to him. You know. And have him to call our office. Don't say anything to him, you know. And the gentleman says, well, he's already here. You see, so what I'm saying to you, I raise that issue, is that don't wait until government to do what they should be doing anyway, being transparent. Take it upon yourself. Beat them to the punch. So here's their lie. The city, even though this thing is, this is the backdrop. There's a sewage spilling. No one has reported it. No one has detected it. And so, in a general maintenance, this is what's told to me by the workers, a general maintenance effort was being conducted up in that area, and they discovered it, and they hadn't had a maintenance period or service review for some while, months, or even a year maybe. And this pipe is just gushing out into the stream. And they don't want to admit it. This is what the city has for an answer. Well, finally, when I called the state had not been notified by the city. And you see there's a practice here and an agreement amongst the thieves. And that is, they have 24 hours before they're required to basically informally file a report. You understand that? So that means you're downstream, and if the city discovers sewage flowing and you're in the stream and your children in the stream picking old pie or just being there, whatever, And you will only know that it happened in 24 hours if they decide to report it. So in this case, it was a routine, a maintenance visit that don't know when the last time, maybe a year or so or months, who knows, they couldn't tell me exactly. But the city's response was to other sources, they wouldn't talk to me. Because, you know, in case I show up, don't talk to it. You understand. So I was able to photograph it and videotape and all. And you see this stuff flowing. And the city's explanation was, well, it was only approximately 10 gallons. Now, let me ask you. If you got a hole in a pipe that's flowing, and you come up and you don't know, and you haven't seen that pipe in years or months, and you see it flowing, and in the amount of time you've discovered it, maybe in an hour or 2 hours, and you conclude that it's 10 gallons. How do you safely say it was 10 gallons when you don't know when it was broken, when it was pumping out, and what volumes it was popping at any given time? You see how they lie? This is what you have in a mayor. This is the culture that exists at the upper levels. You know, let the crap roll downhill, and if we're asked any questions about it, tell them it's fertilizer. Don't mention the health risk. Don't mention the staph infection and the MRSA or all the other Pseudomonas bacteria. Oh, no, don't talk about those. Don't talk about this because we're already struggling to justify stealing from them more to give to the rail, and we're diverting this money. And by the way, there's a consent decree, folks, that exists that they were supposed to address all of these pipes and lines throughout the valleys and around the island. They haven't met that condition of the consent decree. But why haven't they met it? Because the state health department is complicit as all get up and not enforcing the conditions of the consent decree or court order. So, all that I can tell you is that we're in a pickle. We're in a bad fix. And that's the way it is. It's apparently that's what they want to leave us with. That is, it's us against them. And so you take that sewage and you go downhill, and the consent decree there that exists, no one's saying anything. But it doesn't stop there. So let's go back to the Kehi transfer station. Now recently they had a very well televised and drum rolled and drum beats and fireworks and celebration, kazoos going off, and led by Little Hitler himself, Kurt Caldwell. And I freely use that term in description because that's just the way he behaves. And that is my opinion and my observation, because when he goes, he seems to be hell-bent on beating up on the homeless, pushing them out, and then bringing his rich friends who got no money, who gets grants and take government monies and divert it to his friends and what have you, and not one public meeting, a session to get the public's input on bicycles or tricycles or anything, green lanes, bikes or whatever. It's just that me and my friends, you're out. It's just me and my friends. And when you add up the amount of space on these sidewalks that he has given to this company, you have to wonder, when did you sleep? Because this seemed to be something that was contrived for a long time, to go to each site and measure and paint and knowing how many you're going to place there and all that. That took some time and some planning. Who did all of that? Now, I may have missed something. I may have been asleep at the wheel or something. But there's a bigger issue, folks. Now, Caldwell claims, and his motivation is unsightly when you see the homeless collect in these areas, and where else are they going to go? We asked the question. And so they, quote, leave their trash. Let me tell you something that I think each and every one of you, and I'm willing to go out on a limb, that you would be appalled if you were to be able to see exactly what transpires at these so-called cleanups. And if I can find the right lawyer, the right legal team, I'm going to try and file one of the biggest cases of solid waste pollution and clean water pollution that there's ever been filed here, because of the actions taken by Caldwell and his goons, led by the Third Reich people. When he goes into Kehi transfer station, and don't take my word for it, you go and look at it. And if you don't have time to go look at it, I want you to go to carolcox.com and look at the aftermath of this so-called cleanup. And what you'll find is that one gallon bucket, for example, the homeless collect many of things, right? Just to give you an example. One bucket there amongst several tons of trash that just, when Caldwell and his goons come in, they bust up everything. They use a D9 bulldozer in this case, apparently, I was told, and just rip the trees and tore them up. And then all the homeless things that belong to them and that are floated is just smashed and crashed and left in the water and left in the trees hanging. And it looks like a bomb went off. And then Caldwell smashes, runs over computers and monitors and all kinds of chemicals and trash, and leaves it right there in that area. No cleanup. Now, which is worse? The homeless bringing it in and it being contained, or the goon squad coming and cleaning it up and busting it up and leaving it, and leaving it at the edge of the water? And if things couldn't, folks, there is a sickness. I believe, like we say, Donald Trump is mentally ill. And I believe Kurt Caldwell is mentally ill, because no damn way that he would be putting little green bicycles on the roadways and green strips or stripes along the streets on King Street and other places, talking about being green and protecting the environment, and go over there and look devastated. And busting up, there's some things there that I don't even want to stand around and look at because they may be contaminated. And just right there is where the truck that was with radiation is parked. And so just when you think it's really nasty and really ugly and he's sending a message and he's doing your work, because apparently many of you think that the homeless is a problem that the homeless created themselves, and many of them out there because they're just bad managers of money. No, they just don't get $200,000 from the bank, from their friends. That's why they're out there. And they are not working in government because, you know, government check is a pretty good check. But I wonder what they would be if they didn't have all that fancy coodle-doodle, you see. Well, when you see all of that, and you think you've made a grand statement, there can't be anything else said about this situation. Oh, but oh, what there can! So here's what Kurt Caldwell did. So he moved the homeless out, and he bust up things that they have, and just the bulldozer run them over, and they're just in billions of little pieces, and all that is now in an environment, the plastics, the glass, you name it, the chemicals and everything, gas buckets, and you name it, just right there within 2 feet of the water of the Kehi Stream Lagoon. He then decided, well, I really haven't hurt them enough. I'm enjoying this. So I got to do a little. What else can I do? So he comes with a dump truck and dumps somewhere between 5 and 10 mounds or truckloads of asphalt and just leave it there in mounds. And in some instances, that asphalt containing oil and all and whatever, no BMPs, no nothing to block the flow down from the these piles into the stream. Asphalt, because he wanted to really put the hurt on the homeless. He's so damn involved in this. He got a like the little boy who just can't stop pulling the wing off the grasshopper. You understand? Gotta get something out of it for me. It's that personal feeling. And so he leave these piles of asphalt there. You need to see this to understand it, and you'll say, you know, Carol Cox is a little off the wall sometimes, but I think he got something here, I'm hoping. But when we get past all of that now, all of that, there is a gaping hole in a sewage line that pumps right under the into the stream and has been pumped there for years. And Kirk Caldwell and the State Health Department won't do a darn thing about it. And you can tell, and you go under the bridge, under the viaduct there, and you will see bubbling up out of the pipe sewage. And it has been going on for years. But it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and it's around the people that are homeless, so who cares? So says Caldwell and the Third Reich. So it's funny, this image that he portrays and that he cares and he's green. He is green. He thinks we're all gullible. So let's go back here and just say, just take one little piece, one little plug of the cloth of the map, and just go right to Kehe Transfer Station. So this is what a mayor that is able to go chasing homeless around, beating up on them. Don't lie, don't piss, don't spit, don't sleep, don't breathe, don't just whatever it is. Don't be a human being, because you know you ain't got no house. You're not a human being, you know. So, boom. In this little area. But the things that he's supposed to take care of, we got a contractor who defaults on a contract and equipment is left there and the work wasn't done, and so the trash packs up and it smells and it stinks. But that's what he say about the homeless gathering, is that they go pooping in the this and that, and it's not good for the environment. But yet, right there, he's allowing leachate to build up and flow and stink and foul the air and divert the money. And then he got a truck that's radiated with radiation that he's not carefully protecting the workers around that area or the public that drive by. When you dump your trash, you got to drive right by this truck that's contaminated. Now, who's policing the police? Who is actually monitoring, or who has the strings of control? See, apparently you and I, the taxpayer, have no say in this matter, because he's not temperate. His actions are not temperate. He doesn't have a rudder when it comes to a moral compass or anything. He is hell-bent on sticking it to the homeless, because apparently he has this, he's mad at them because this is his city and he wants it to be green with tulips and green bicycle lanes, and I'm all for that. But every time you look at his green work, it calls a big question. Touting the solar building as a green project, but it costs us $9 million and it's not up and running, and the contractor defaulted on that. The same contractor that defaulted on the Kehe transfer thing. So my question is, how does this person get these contracts? Is there inside tipping job information on giving them any information, inside trader or bids? or what do you do to check for the waste or to make sure that this company can do the job? You wouldn't have any of that in place if you're motivated by getting rid of the homeless, chasing the homeless, being pissed at the homeless, because every time you do something that's green, the homeless pop up and it distracts from your green theory, your green theme. We should call him Mr. Green Jeans. I mean, you know, everything he does is green. But boy, he raises hell on the homeless. I have never seen anybody so hell-bent. Bulldozers, D9 bulldozers, to go in an area and just smash up everything. And then you look right there by the bridge where there's bubbling up. And here's how you generally can tell sewage if you suspect that it's there. Well, first of all, the smell. Secondly, if there's a pipe around, you're going to see water impacted area. You know, there's a stream, but you would see the stream soaking up in the water, wicking up to the top at the groundwater level. But where there is a pipe, you'll see, and especially sewage, you'll see a dark dirt, moist, and the smell. And one other telltale sign is that the water is milky white, and on the weeds and the plants that surrounds that will collect that fibrous material, that cellulose, because the toilet tissue theory breaks down, but it collects on this, and that's how you tell you have sewage. So how is it that we can applaud and see on the evening news probing the homeless with cameras and bulldozers and all of that and threatening them with arrests and all, and then the same guy that is responsible under the Clean Water Act goes undaunted, untouched, unscathed? So I don't know. I'm at a loss as to what the fix is, but I can only tell you that anything that you follow, anything that you look at that Kurt Caldwell has under his management, it's costing. And so I proceeded to tell you about the cost at Kehe Transfer Station and backing up the trucks and diverting the trucks. So I'm told on Friday, because of the news story and my inquiries and asking questions about this, because I wrote them a letter, but you see, they don't answer questions. But what I do like about it, you want to have fun. This is something that I've learned. If you really want to have fun and feel good while you're doing this, because it can be stressful and disgusting at the same time, write a letter. Even they don't want to talk to you, they won't talk to you. You know, there's a little mischief in it. Just write the letter, and you will see them move their butts for you. You know, what was that commercial, Continental Air, "We move our tail for you"? Well, they will move, but they were not going to call you back and admit that it's broken or anything. But they, oh my God, the panic is on, right? It's really cool. It's like just really cool to see government that is lethargic and dishonest and disgusting and abusive in its authority. All of a sudden, oh, we got it. It's going to be on the news, or it's going to embarrass us, and the mayor is not going to look good, because when he runs for governor or Congress or whatever they do when they screw the people. So this is what they do. They go and they start picking up the trash at Kehe Transfer Station, and they don't go to H-Power. They go to the landfill, which then... the landfill is not supposed to be actively accepting any municipal solid waste. But because of the buildup that they cause, and because of the buildup that may be contributing to the buildup or slowdown, is that the default in the contract here and probably over there at
Campbell Industrial Park at the H Power Plant and the solar building. It's all connected. It's one big spider web. And so trash and the people, if you're out there and you live in Coalina and you were told that no more trash was going in, and I think about 3 weeks ago there was this debate. Is there any trash going into the landfill anymore? No. It's all taken to H Power and it's burned. Really? Well, Carol Cox wrote a letter asking questions about why is it build up there, and so in your haste you hurried to dump it over, bypass H Power and go to landfill. Which brings me to the question, so if the landfill management, waste management, whoever it is that manages the landfill, because municipal solid waste is not to be brought there, does this now introduce a special handling fee? Do they get to charge the city money for handling that? Is it a special fee? I don't know. But again, that's where we are. 524-1080 is the number if you have a comment or question or you want to chat about something else. I'm all up for it now. So that's about the long and short of it. There's much, much more. But I did have one letter that I wanted to read to you just slightly. And I'm trying to caller, thank you. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning, Mr. Carol Cox.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Okay. You know, in the past, long ago, when they had all these lords and barons, you know, it took a great amount of infrastructure to support the home and the services within the home.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we take for granted all the services given to us, you know, sewage and water, electricity. And these are expenses. And you, like you said, somehow the local government hasn't been effective in doing their job in providing these services. But we must keep in mind that these services are very economical for what we're paying, because, for example, if a lord had a castle, you know what it would take to maintain that castle? Farmers, cooks, housekeepers. So same thing with our own community, the costs of running our community is expensive. Of course, the government must be themselves effective in what they do. And you mentioned that maybe it's the management practices that cause this deficiency of services that we have. Maybe it could also be leadership, the decision on what projects to work on, and then implementing the practices to provide those services. Franklin Covey taught me that moral authority begets formal authority. Of course, I'm not talking about a physical nature morality. I'm talking about other kinds of morality, like financial morality, accountability, things like that. So if the house, and also Franklin Covey also says, private victory before public victory. So if the house is not in order, then you have this, these deficiencies that you stated as an advocate for sustainability. But we must be grateful for what we have, because 120 years ago, what an ordinary citizen had only the rich could have, only the monarchies could have. But we must be social activists. It's a national morality to keep these people, government people, business people, civic people, in check so they do their job properly.
Mm-hmm. And
this is
And so, with you take for example this situation we experience here in the whole of Honolulu. Just say Honolulu. Let's say we had the most efficient person who understood everything, and they were proficient in the management and the style and all of that, and the budgeting was fine, and everything was handed out equally, and all those items or areas needed money got their money allocated. What happens is that you introduce a project that is not conducive to or fit in with or complement these projects that's already funded, but you insist on carrying through with that project, such as the rail, and then you start diverting monies from these projects that are well-financed or well-budgeted for, and then you strip them of that or reduce the money that flows. So that area suffers, and then you continue on to move piecemeal on your main project called the rail. Could that be a factor in degrading the quality of life or in government, in the service of government?
So who in the city and county or the state legislature is the watchdog over this? Is it the Ethics Commission to be in line with the city charter and the state statutes? Who do we go to see to be sure things are done properly, Mr. Carol Cox?
Well,
in the government.
In this town, you go see no one. There is no one to see because the mayor gets to appoint the people in the ethics and what have you, and he has a say in that. And the ethics, then the people that are on there are conflicted because, you know, many of them have nothing to do with anything or have business or interest, and they come on and you can't get a straight answer. The process is loaded with hidden practices and closed-door sessions, and just the entire thing has eroded into a heap of lies and abuse and just no ethics. But who should be policing? The individuals. Caldwell, when they make their promises, that should go further than just the promises. He should draw on his internal behavior and his person, his spirit, his everything, all the good things about him. But somehow it escapes him. It appears that it is not his moral compass. It is off kilter or something. I don't know.
Okay, well, isn't the managing director the person in charge of all these projects and how it's run?
Yeah, and so in theory, that's the way it's laid out, but in some instances, when the managing director favors an individual who should get a contract, and then they leak the amount of money out that they're going to allow for, and then they coach them and then behind the scenes, and they don't do their due diligence in monitoring and screening the contractor or the potential contractor, you follow?
What I do know, if the culture is haphazard, I'm taking a business course, and it says the triangle of harm is when if a system becomes corrupt, it goes into despotism.
Mm-hmm.
So more controls is going to be needed to straighten up the problem, because there's morale issues, psychological issues, controls. Either they got to change the whole administrative body or straighten up, because it's laws of nature. If the culture is bad, it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going to happen?
And it is happening, and that is why, I mean, When you, I don't know if is if I could safely say that the amount of tax dollars would are that are necessary are taken from us and collected from us, and we have sufficient amount of money. I don't think that it will ever be because of costs and the new technologies and the demand for monies and all that. So that's why it's so important that we don't have trickery and the sleight of hand and the misinformation and no balance or no check balance, checks and balances. The city council is a separate body. But if you look at the recent development, for example, Menor, Manahan, Kimberly Pine, and the other two that joined ranks with the mayor, see, they abandoned their moral responsibility to they know what the banner said when they walked through that door. You're a separate body, and right? The forks of government. But they tend to go and then feed out of Caldwell's hand, out of his water bowl, and they're becoming beholden to him for some special interest for themselves, and there you have it, degrading of and the quality of life and quality of government.
Okay, thank you for me to be able to talk to you today, Mr. Carol Cox.
So are you going to run for mayor now? You're taking a business class?
Well, no, I'm not running for mayor. I'm a constitutional community advocate. I advocate in behalf of sustainability myself. I'm not really a watchdog, but I try to bring clarity to issues, because a lot of times you can tell them they're wrong, but they themselves have to perceive and understand the issues so that they make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm. Will they lend themselves to that, or are they approachable? Because I think when you see the veracity of it and how committed they are to their projects, it's kind of hard. You know, they didn't form like what was the company, the organization that got involved and Cayetana sued. I mean, it's not like the mayor relies on his desire and be driven by his desire only. You got all these other factions, and then people start to infuse money, and then you take that, and because you want to win as mayor, and you want to, you understand? It catches you, and it's like The Exorcist. Your head spin because you just when you think good person, then you learn bad relationships. Let me get there's another caller, and thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Yeah.
Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a problem with my voice, but listened to you many times, called many times. Perhaps we need agitation to control what we see that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of agitation takes time, planned, organized, but this kind of agitation must ensure success. A lawyer goes into a court, he's not going to ask a question unless he knows the answer. And that's the same thing with, if you're going to start with any kind of agitation to control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why agitation is over? Shuffling of papers is over. Testimony is over. People must be convinced that for whatever reason, and you brought it up many times, the people do not control. Somebody else controls our culture.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what do we know that is wrong? We've had two audits, one for the Handy Van, one for Harts, many, many problems. Now the audits are over, but who is going to enforce what the audit actually found, factual evidence by a professional auditor?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we did not have a forensic audit, that's true. I wake up comes not just civil penalties, but the penal penalties.
Right, and should be criminal charges brought up on many of these folks, but then how do you get that done when the people that, you know, Hanabusa one day is a member of Hart and the next day she's an attorney for the people that, you know, so I hate to keep harping on that.
You're exactly right.
I mean, how do you figure it out? How do you sort through it, way through it?
In other words, you could have city council members ask for an ethic investigation of another city council member, unless it's a certain person. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, and they all come to the table saying that they care about people and government, good government, and in turn, you look at their record and the track record, it's horrible.
You have named the villains. One, Caldwell did not get votes.
Well, I lost you there, Richard. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with a comment. Richard, you can call back.
Yeah, Carol, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what Richard said was true. I remember watching Richard at City Council. He would testify for against the rail and about what's going on with the handy van, and especially with the rail. All these unions used to come in, you know, with their shirts, you know, from different departments of the unions, and they support the rail and everything. And it's just the unions are another thing. I used to belong to a big union.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got out of it, because I said it's so corrupt, they take your dues and they use it for their own personal gain. What they do for the members, nothing, you know. But they want you to vote for whatever they want in political times. So they control everything. It's a monopoly, and I can't stand it anymore. You know?
Oh, it's a monster, man.
Yeah, it is a monster. But thank you, Carol, for making all this on your show to bring the truth out, because I listen to you every week. Your website is wonderful. And keep the good work.
Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. In a little short time, Richard, you can call back in a couple minutes. And I want to share with you a letter and show you just how wrapped up this spider web it can be. This is from Wayne Hamada. Myung, can you accompany me this walk? On this walkthrough on Friday, what time would be good for you? Okay, so then there's a Lisa Mendoza and to Wayne Hamada. Wayne, see requests below from Paul Harmon from the bond company. If you agree, city employees must accompany them as they do the walkthrough. Wayne, what time can you be available to meet with them on Friday? Quote, I am writing to inquire whether the City and County of Honolulu will permit personnel from Engineered Structures, Inc., ESI, a contractor of Travelers, is in discussion with regarding completion of the Solo H Power project. Access to the project site this Friday, April 28, to perform a site walkthrough. The site walkthrough would be coordinated by Harry Linehan, formerly a Performance Systems, Inc. Now, folks, why on earth would you go back and hire someone that was working for a company that defaulted on it and didn't deliver, and then now you're going, this person goes and works for Engineered Structures, who's going to try to come in and do the contract, pick up the pieces. Why would you hire anybody affiliated with that, the failure, or that company? Then the purpose of this walkthrough would be to ascertain the current status of work in place and to assess remaining work to complete the project. My understanding that ESI would be joined by some of the subcontractors who previously worked on the project and possibly other subcontractors who may be asked to submit proposals to complete some of the work. I appreciate the city. Folks, this is basically what they're doing. Is that they take a dirty dish rag and they wash the car and then they take it and go back and take that same dirty rag and wash their tires with it. And why not start anew? If you default and you're affiliated with that, you don't get a city contract. we are not going to be engaged in conversation with you. We don't want anything to do with you because you don't. You were with a team that didn't deliver. Caller, go ahead.
I thank you very much for the explanation. If we consider the executive board for HART and where it began with four members, Culver was chair of that board, steel wheel on steel rail, and up to with the HART executive board, listened to them, took notes. Culver was recommending to them how well they were doing, and they were doing exactly what Parsons Brinckerhoff would do, and they are the ones that have put us in this predicament.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say to the voters, what you going to do now? I mean, as they say, teach the calf how to eat the cabbage. We all of us, a simple note to Kochi, Psyche, and tell them, not just no, but hell no.
Excuse me just for a minute, but we have Birmingham, Chicago, San Francisco agitation.
Well, yeah.
And look what happened.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure to do it, planning, organization, leadership, time. No, you have success if you're going to agitate. But I don't know, other than agitation, because of revolving doors with the legislature and the city council, they go up and they come down.
Yeah, I think I would recommend to people to just express themselves in a simple sentence. We ask you not to condone, convene, or any meetings or anything to even discuss this. This is Kurt Caldwell's toy, then let him handle it himself.
Oh, no, the legislature said we are not the ones, I was been before them, and we are not the ones that are being, should be blamed. It is city and county.
Right, but then after they screw it up, they then run to the legislators, and
yes,
now the city
yes,
legislators
yes,
say,
yes.
The state legislators say, it's our problem. Well, see, that's double talk.
Yeah, of course.
That's why we should exercise our vote, and Kochi and Psyche, they're not immune to being voted out. They may, in their own minds, they're good people, but when you start playing the political game wrong and you start to impact people and they don't have a say and you're representing them, you need to be shown the door. So I think that's it. Well, see, I know the planning, the agitation and all those things, but this is a simple act. Just write them or call them and tell them no. Period. That's if they ain't getting agitated with that.
Well, I've been, this is not ego or anything, but I've been before them so many times live, and I've actually more or less raised my voice and said, Pine, Elefante, you're not listening to the people.
Yeah.
And I wrote to every council member and said the same thing.
And they still don't listen to the people.
But
if the masses wrote, because the people that are paying these taxes now, see, they think you and I are just pushovers. But one day, you and I are going to make statements, and it's going to catch fire out there, and the public is going to respond. And
I'm right there with you.
You know, and I believe in nonviolence and all of that. But I tell you what, they're going to pull their hair out when they really realize that people are tired of being abused and screwed over and being force-fed and forced to pay taxes on something that they don't want or don't need or won't ever use. So anyway, that's it for us today. So welcome back, and thank you for calling.
Thank you very much, Mr. Falk.
All right. Aloha.
Bye.
Raise up your hands and put a smile on your face. Talking to everybody in the human race. We're proud and strong, so stand up tall. Let's all get together and bring peace to the world. Let's all get together and bring peace to the world. Let's all get together and bring peace to the world. Every man and woman, girl or boy, let's all get together and bring peace to the world.
every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.
KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial. Even